Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
You're listening to the Financial Flight Plan, a podcast that'll help you better prepare for your retirement and your financial future. And on today's podcast, joined by, of course, Tim Estes and Bree Reyes, the team at Estes Financial Services. I'm Walter Storholt. And you probably scratched your head a little bit when you saw the title of today's podcast when it said The Financial Game Show. And the reason we're doing this today is that, you know, we've all got those game shows that we enjoy to watch. But unfortunately, we're seeing more and more often where people are kind of treating their retirement planning as if it were their favorite game show. And that's not usually a good thing. And we'll give you some good examples on the podcast today. And I'll start it off with my favorite game show of all time. Now, I don't watch it really anymore. I guess I'm a Bob Barker, you know, purist. It was the best when he was on, and I just can't watch it with anybody else as the host. But I used to love getting sick in, you know, elementary, middle school, high school, because it meant I got to stay home from school and watch The Price is Right. It just always show at the top of my list. Where do you see people playing The Price is Right with their financial plans?
Well, most times where I see it is when people are talking about a specific stock. It's overvalued or it's undervalued, or I'll wait to sell it when it gets up to its full value potential or things like that. And we're a little bit different. We're more holistic. If you hear those words coming from a financial advisor, you're working with actually a broker, a stock broker. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. We're more financial advisors and financial planners with a more holistic look, and we look at everything that goes into your retirement planning process, not just picking stocks or picking investments. And so you have to be careful when they're saying, come on down to pick up a stock or whatever. You have to really wonder where you are and where you're going instead of looking at a total picture.
It's not actually any planning that's going on in that case. It's more of a specific decision being made.
It's kind of that idea of viewing things in a vacuum rather than affecting the whole portfolio. If you treat things more like that game show mentality, it's going to be in these kind of like narrow little windows rather than looking at the big picture, and I think that's important. Before I go to another example here, we should probably cover your guys' favorite. Do you have a favorite game show? I don't know if you guys watch a lot of TV these days, or I think a lot of the game shows that are out nowadays, some of the newer ones, aren't that great. I tend to be a fan more of the classics, but do you guys have favorites?
I love Jeopardy.
Yes, that was going to be my...
Hands down, it's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a Vanna White fan. I gotta go with Wheel of Fortune.
So the two classics, right? They're always on back-to-back, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think Vanna is just a classy, beautiful lady, and that's been her whole career, is turning letters, and she has done it magnificently.
I just can't believe they're still able to come up with puzzles for Wheel of Fortune. When you just start thinking about, you know, just the amount of episodes they've had and the amount of creative things that they've had to come up with. But I guess you could say the same for Jeopardy. I mean, think of all the questions that they go through in one show, and it's every day, and it's been for years and years and years. They got to keep coming up with new things. I always find that to be sort of an impressive feat. Quick funny story for you about Jeopardy. My dad used to fool his, actually, he was the one that got fooled. A buddy of theirs, you know, growing up, they would always get together after work and watch Jeopardy and see who could win. And his buddy would always beat him, you know, just barely, just enough. Well, it turned out that, this is back in, you know, cable and, you know, catching things over the antenna for some people versus cable. Apparently, this guy got to see Jeopardy earlier in the day with just the way that his cable thing worked. And so he'd watch it, then come over to my dad's house and watch it, and he'd already know all the answers. So he'd get enough wrong to where, you know, he couldn't find out that that's what was occurring. And that's how he'd always wipe Dad with the floor, with just how good he was at that knowledge. But they eventually found out the gig, and they were able to, I guess, rectify that situation. I never heard the end of that story, though. One show that has been popular in recent memory has been Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I haven't watched it a ton, but anything Jeff Foxworthy does is usually pretty funny. And the concept makes a lot of sense. You test your knowledge against a fifth grader, see how they do. My question for you is, are people playing that game, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, with their financial plans?
Oh, every day. Every day. When you watch a show like Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, you realize all the stuff you've forgotten since fifth grade.
I feel like I was a lot smarter back then, yeah.
well, or just all the stuff that's replaced what you knew in fifth grade. And that tends to happen with financial planning. People think that they know what they're doing on their own, and you can't.
There's a lot of information out there and just a very small drop of wisdom. And so our job as financial planners is to weed out the chaff, so to speak, from the wheat and make sure that we distill it down to the very best essence that you possibly can. And the caveat also to that, or the corollary to that, is when you have a financial plan and you have different investments, you need to be able to explain it to a fifth grader. If it's so complicated that you don't understand it, you've been given a disservice. You know, I tell my clients all the time, I want you to have what I call the sleep factor. If you don't understand what's going on, let's find out where you're missing the knowledge and make sure that you understand, so that when you go home at night, you can go to home and sleep knowing that everything is taken care of. So, yes, things get complicated, but you ought to be able to explain it to a fifth grader.
Mm. Well, and our industry has so much of its own technical language. And sometimes I find that people don't, it's being used where the average investor doesn't understand. So they're buying something and they don't understand what they've purchased. And a lot of times most people aren't willing to say, hey, I what was that? I don't know that term. Mm.
And so, yeah, a lot of jargon in the industry that we certainly try to stay away from. And if we do use it, we try to explain it. You know, an example would be RMD. That's required minimum distribution, and that applies to IRAs at age 70 and a half. So we make sure that we explain, if we use any jargon, what it means and how it impacts the individual that we're talking to.
I've got to say, I'm really impressed. Speaking of being smarter than a fifth grader, I didn't think on today's podcast we would be squeezing the words chaff, wheat, and distill all into the same sentence. So well done in your explanation there. That was pretty cool. Love getting vocabulary lessons here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast, no doubt about it. Now, I was remiss when we were talking about game shows earlier. I can't believe I didn't think of this one sooner. The Price is Right is always the one that kind of comes first to mind. But in terms of like primetime TV game shows, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was a great show. I mean, it didn't get any better than Regis Philbin in the evening. I felt like in all of America was wrapped up in watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in its heyday.
And I think it's still on.
Yeah. Is it Meredith Vieira or Verda? Is she hosting it nowadays?
She's still doing it? Meredith Vieira. She's still still hosting it. It's still on, I think, in the afternoons.
Yeah.
So it's still around.
Well, that sounds like the kind of game show that would not be a bad way to structure your financial planning around. Why not play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with your finances?
Well, the problem that we see or that we encounter is people taking too much risk because they say, oh, I can't retire unless I have $1 million. I can't retire unless I have $1 million. And that doesn't necessarily hold true. If you have a pension or if Social Security is going to factor in and you don't have $1 million, you can probably still have a very comfortable retirement. So having a arbitrary number set to make your financial decisions is not necessarily the most prudent way to go.
Well, and your income needs maybe more, that you need more than $1 million. It can go either way. Financial planning isn't like buying a shoe. It's not one size fits all. It's not you're a size 7, here you go. It's individualized, and each case is different.
Yeah, it's like going to one of those places that sell shoes where they don't just sell you the size 7, but they then measure the width of your foot, the curvature, and then they adjust the soles to fit that and, you know, make it all very customized and personalized to your individual need to truly give you the best fit. And that's a good analogy. Your financial plan should probably be the same way. So you know, who wants to be a millionaire? Well, it's not necessarily a bad goal to have, but it might be if you have, you know, other complications in your financial plan, other important things to consider. This is another classic. This one has had many hosts, and this one, unlike being a purist with The Price is Right, where it's Bob Barker or bust, I think all the hosts of The Family Feud have been pretty good. They've all brought a nice personality to that show, and I'm sure this will be an easy correlation to draw. Where do you see money and family? Where do we see The Family Feud happening in the financial world?
A lot of times it comes into play when you're talking of an estate issue. Mom or dad has passed away, and now they're having to divide up the assets. And mom and dad didn't necessarily plan very well. They didn't have a will, or the will didn't stipulate who gets what. And believe it or not, I have seen a family ripped apart over a spoon. I think I talked about this on a previous podcast, but over a spoon. It was something that had been handed down generation to generation, and two sisters, they each wanted the spoon. One of them got it, one of them didn't, and for 20 years, they have not spoken to each other. And so you really have a lot of issues with families fighting and feuding. So the best that you can do is have a will or a trust. We're not attorneys. We can't practice law, but speak to an attorney and make sure you designate specifically where people get what and how they get it. And it's not that expensive, and it sure will save the children a whole lot of heartburn and heartache if you do that.
Well, in another place, even when you're alive, can be healthcare. Families can feud over healthcare decisions. So make sure you have those documents as well from an attorney.
And I think the survey says, if I can slide a little pun in there, that, you know, if you are experiencing these issues, if your finances are structured in a way that might cause an issue within your family at your passing, or if you have been just sort of focusing on a number, like I've got to get $1 million and everything will be okay, or maybe it is treating your financial planning like a game of The Price is Right, or you haven't been educated on your financial plan in a way that you can understand and you're kind of lost in the financial jargon, well, see the difference. Come work with the team at Estes Financial, and they will help you understand your plan better, how it fits into the overall financial landscape, and they'll make sure that you're getting a customized plan as well. If you want a complimentary initial meeting with the team, you can do that by calling 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. And if you're in the Fort Worth area, there's an office right there nearby serving you in the Metroplex. You can find Estes Financial online as well. EstesFinancial.net is the website, EstesFinancial.net. And we should mention, if you're a current client and you're listening and maybe you've procrastinated, you know, following up on some of your yearly reviews, or you haven't come in and said hello to the team in a while, please do so. Make sure that you're staying on the right track with your financial plan, and make sure there's nothing that needs to be addressed or that's changed in the last couple of years. Always very important to do that. 817-444-8402, your number to call. And we'll look forward to talking to you on the next Financial Flight Plan podcast.
Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.